Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of wisdom that reveals you are pure being having a human experience. I am Swamini B, a Vedanta teacher and a Hindu monk, and your guide by the side. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the river of wisdom. A time-sensitive announcement. Our fifth edition of the Vedic Wisdom Festival is now here. I want to personally invite you for this two-day virtual festival with the theme of Vedic Vision for a Complete Life. The masters who will speak are both traditional and contemporary, and you will take away a lot from it. You can register now at vedicwisdomfestival.in. I hope to see you there. 200 episodes, 200 weeks, Jnana Ganga, the Ganga of Wisdom, the River of Wisdom, continues to flow. Welcome to the 200th episode of your podcast, Vedanta, the River of Wisdom. A little backstory. I started this podcast on 15th August 2018. My guru, Pooja Swami Dayananji's birth anniversary. The sankalpa was to build a bridge to Vedanta for people who were curious but did not know where to start and were not ready to commit to a class or a course. I wanted to use a medium that is in keeping with the tradition, and hence it was just right to adopt an audio medium, because Shravanam is the main sadhana, that is listening over a period of time to the Shastra from a guru. I wanted each episode to be complete in and of itself, so that one could listen to anyone and take away an insight, a learning, a tool, a method that would help in self-mastery and self-discovery, all of which would scrape away the ignorance surrounding oneself. And so now we have a rich archive that you can dip into any time and in any sequence. The shortest episode might be about 10 minutes and the longest about 30 minutes. A very heartfelt thank you for listening, sharing your reflections, asking questions, and becoming students of Vedanta. I am grateful and will continue to honor this weekly commitment of flowing with this river of wisdom. The devas smile and shower petals on the ones who value the teachings passed on by the rishis. Continuing with today's episode, Vedanta, an embrace of the sacred. Every day we relate, we react, we withdraw, we reject, we flee, we freeze, we respond. Often, our life stance is more of a survivor, furtive eyes darting to see who is out there to get us, looking over our shoulders with bated breath. There is a fear about a threat, and anxiety about an imagined threat. As we relate, the heart longs for fullness. The heart wants to belong such that there are no pangs of separation. And then, as you walk the path, you hear temple bells from a distance. The cool breeze ruffles your hair and the soles of your feet touch the cool granite floor. You bend down to touch the first step of the temple as you are now respectfully entering the body of Bhagavan. With a chant on your lips, you walk towards the Garbhagraha, the Sanctum Sanctorum, where the deity is, which is covered in darkness. Bhagavan looks resplendent with all the flowers, the crown studded with gleaming jewels, and the warm glow of oil lamps on either sides. With hands folded in prayer, you try to capture Bhagavan, so beautifully decorated, in your mind's eye, closing your eye for a few seconds. There is no image. You open your eyes again and allow your eyes to gaze all over. You look at his or her eyes and see love and compassion. Your eyes fall on Bhagavan's raised palm in Abhaya Mudra, reminding you to not fear and accept blessings. You are reveling in the darshan when the Pandit puts the camphor on the aarti plate and waves it around Bhagavan. He then brings it towards the devotees as you wave your hands around the flame, touch your eyes and head with the light and warmth of blessing. The Pandit returns to the Garbhagraha and brings back some flowers, a garland of fresh red roses, and coconuts that were offered at the altar. As he distributes these to the gathered devotees, he puts the garland of red roses around your neck. You are delighted, and as you smile ear to ear, offer him dakshina, find a quiet spot to do some prayers. You do wonder if the Pandit is suspect, but find that he has gone back to making offerings for other devotees. A bit self-conscious, with the garland around your neck, you wonder whether to take it off or not and decide to keep it until you complete your prayers. With every breath, the wafting sweet fragrance of the roses feels wonderful. You allow it to sink in. The garland of flowers that was offered to Bhagavan is now around my neck. Perhaps a few hours ago, it was just one of those garlands that hung in the flower shop. But just the fact of being offered at the altar changes everything. It still continues to be a garland, yet your vision has changed. It is now prasada. There is no proper translation for this word. At best, one can say prasada is a gift from the altar of Bhagavan, or an object that is pervaded by Bhagavan's blessings. Can you unsee this? No. The object is transformed by your vision and the attitude of gracious acceptance and receptivity. Whatever comes from the altar is sacred and is treated with reverence. It is not rejected or dismissed. We extend the attitude of openness and receptivity at the temple to the altar of life as situations unfold day after day. I am touched by the presence of Bhagavan. I am sacred. Sacred is that which is touched by the presence of the divine. The question is, am I blessed only now, or am I always blessed? If I'm blessed only now, that means whatever happened before and what is to happen after this moment has been a curse. No, that's not true. Whatever has happened earlier and happening now, is it being done by someone else other than Bhagavan? Sure, it's my life, but the laws of nature and the materials in nature all come from Bhagavan. My body, mind, senses are not my independent creation. Bhagavan says in the Gita, Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhavav Pralayastatha. I am the one from whom this entire world comes. I am the one into whom all resolves. So the entire material which this world is made up of, space, water, air, fire, and earth, all come from Bhagavan. Where the effect in the form of material is, there alone the cause that is Bhagavan is. The intelligence with which the different physiological, physical, chemical laws function in the world also come from Bhagavan. Where the effect in the form of intelligence is, there alone the cause that is Bhagavan is. Oh, so there is no material or intelligence that is untouched by the presence of Bhagavan. All that is here is Bhagavan. If that is true, then why don't I see it? Because I'm obsessed with polarities. Sukha dukkha, happiness and sorrow, siddhi asiddhi, success, failure, shita ushna, hot and cold, agama apainaha, coming and going of events. But the sacred or Bhagavan is above polarities. All dimensions of life come together in the sacred. The experience of happiness and sorrow is sustained by the psychological law of emotions, which is Bhagavan. What is experienced as success and failure is imbued by the law of karma, that is sacred, that is Bhagavan. What are experienced as the coming and going of experiences in the context of time is sacred, which is Bhagavan. In fact, kala, time, is looked upon as Kala Bhairava, an aspect of Shiva. Every inch of this body, mind, senses is sacred as it is permeated by Bhagavan. I am a manifestation, a form of Bhagavan. Deho devalaya proktaha, it is said that this body is a temple. Jiva deva sanatanaha, and the deity of this temple has been a deva all along. Tyajeta jnana nirmalyam, soham bhavena pujayet. May we give up ignorance, which is in the form of wilted flowers, and may we worship Bhagavan with the understanding that He is me. This beautiful shloka is often chanted as a part of Atma Puja during the ritual of performing puja. Around me, whichever form is perceived, it is Bhagavan. The heart longs for the sacred, which is imbued with the presence of the one who is always there for us. And when the heart reaches out in relating to the other, a magical embrace occurs. As you extend your arms and hold the other, the fatigue of the day that felt heavy on those tight shoulders gives way to a softness and tenderness. You are enveloped by a glow of warmth and well-being. The other, too, feels your love, acceptance, and respect. No words are needed. The heart is tender and full, not rejecting anything. Both feel cherished and wanted by the other. The other could be a person, a thing, a situation, the world. All are forms of Bhagavan. You don't need to wait for the roaring waves in the ocean to calm down before you see it as water. The wave is the ocean. The forms are different, but what is in and through all forms is water. Without water, there can be no form. You don't need to wait for a special experience to see that you and every other form has always been sacred, imbued with the presence of Bhagavan. Tat Tvam Asi. You are that Ishvara. Your form and Ishvara's form is different. Your function and Ishvara's function of manifestation, sustenance and resolution change and are different, then what is it that is ever present in you and Ishvara? What is your nature and Ishvara's intrinsic nature, which cannot be displaced or dismissed? Brahman, that which always is, that which has no limits and no lack. You are Brahman. Ishvara is Brahman. You have always been Brahman, the limitless. You just mistook yourself to be otherwise. And so, as the river of Vedanta flows, you embrace the tides of karma of the ocean. You see that the world is sacred. It was never opposed to you. You deal with situations appropriately according to dharma. Jagat darshanam is Ishvara darshanam. And then Ishvara darshanam is Atma darshanam. You see what is most sacred about Bhagavan, and that is you. You discover the limitless Atma. You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful and offering insight, I do hope you will consider sharing this with your friends, family, or on social media. Would you like to receive an email every month that will bring to you more wisdom, more happiness, and more freedom? If the answer is yes, then our monthly newsletter, Arshavidya Bharati, is for you. It has articles on living our traditions, links to podcast episodes, articles and videos published elsewhere in the month, reflections about how Vedanta is changing the life of students, announcements about events and courses, profound Sanskrit sayings, and much, much more. And it's not too long. Do consider checking out this month's issue and also subscribe. The links are in the description of this episode. The transcript of this podcast is available on discoveratma.com/category/podcast. I would love to hear from you. If you have a request or a reflection,
please write to me at swaminij@discoveratma.com. That's SWAMINIJI at discoveratma.com. As always, thank you for listening, and we meet next week.